All right, our first 2024 edition of Jace Talk After Dark on the air. Show Ali with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network, on sportsnet.ca, and on the Sportsnet app. Jace 5-1 winners over the Friars to start this series in San Diego. Hey, if you're still awake, and I know people are not only listening to this on the East Coast, where I am, but still, if you are still awake anywhere, give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location, the people's text line, everyone, as I always like to say, is always open. And I gotta say, I want to start, I was kind of debating whether I wanted to start with the offense or if I wanted to start with the pitching. And I think early in this game, I was leaning offense, but after they scored 5 runs in 2 innings and then no runs for the rest of the game, I think it's probably more astute to start with the pitching. And let's face it, the entire pitching staff was amazing today, right? Yariel Rodriguez in a second start. So we knew coming into this game that his pitch count was largely going to be around 80 pitches-ish. And again, similarly to last time out at the Rogers Center, I was somewhat hoping for 4 1/3, maybe 4 2/3, you know, at the most generous interpretation of what 80-ish pitch count could mean. And if he had given up like 3 to 4 runs, I'd probably have largely been okay with it. And I bet a lot of you guys would have been too. But today, 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, which was earned. It was a solo home run given up to Fernando Tatis Jr. 1 walk, 7 strikeouts on 83 pitches thrown. So after that start, and this is a stat that Sportsnet Stats dug up, Jays starters have allowed 1 earned run or fewer in 6 straight games, which is phenomenal to hear after the uneven start, let's call it, to the year for everyone whose name is not Jose Berríos. It's funny because the usage for Y-Rod, and we are going to make that happen, it does somewhat remind me of the conversations we used to have on Jays Talk about Kikuchi, actually, right? When he first signed with the Jays, you guys remember that? We'd often talk about, like, do you only let Kikuchi see the opposing order twice and that's it? How strict should the Jays be with that? Where, you know, those were the chats that we were having on the show. And again, very similar for Rodriguez early on, which largely makes sense, but he was very effective those 2 times through the order. I had made the observation the last time out at the Rogers Center that he had seemed so unflappable. Like, he seemed like a guy who does not get all that bothered by base runners. And we heard on Jace Talk Plus from Caitlin McGrath, who had spoken with Blake Murphy earlier this morning, that even though he is a rookie in the sense that he's never pitched in the majors before, that he's still well-traveled, right? That's a word from John Schneider. He's pitched in high leverage for the Chunichi Dragons in Japan. So his resting heart rate is, in fact, relatively low. He's been a pitcher since he was like 16 or 17 years old, which is something that is, just generally speaking, the experience, always pretty valuable for early for anyone, for any leverage innings, relievers or starters, certainly. But Y-Rod has been great. I actually wanted to zoom into that second inning from Yariel Rodriguez, but after the Vladdy glove mishap, and I see a text here on that, actually, so we'll chat about that in a sec. But after the glove mishap, Jackson Merrill had some great base running to get to second base, so give the guy some credit. But now Rodriguez has runners on second and third, one out. So he gets Tyler Wade to fly out by getting Wade to swing at the slider and a 7-pitch AB for Higashioka, who has done some damage against the Jays in the past as a Yankee. And another Y-Rod slider gets Higashioka to end the inning. And so he leaves after getting runners on second and third with one out. He ends that inning with no damage done. Right? Very impressive stuff after those runners were both in scoring position. Great piece of pitching from Rodriguez, who I remain very impressed by. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean to say it was all perfect. The guy hung his fair share of sliders today. He definitely got away with it a couple of times. He did not get away with it in the second AB to Tatis Jr., who absolutely tattooed that ball for a home run. Man, he's playing really well to start the season. So anyways, I want to give Rodriguez his flowers. I know it's kind of a tired phrase, but he has pitched well enough that I think he deserves to get praised. And for a guy who is not a journeyman, but a guy who has really not pitched all that much in North America, period, for him to start this way, gotta say, been very impressed. Very impressed, and I look forward to seeing what he has going forward. I still don't think it's entirely settled whether or not Y-Rod is going to be a high-leverage reliever going forward, or if he is going to be stretched out to be a starter. They're clearly trying him as a starter. I don't think that story is completely told yet, but it's not exactly something you have to decide right now. Let's check out the text line, 590-590, name and location, if you want to give me a call, certainly as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. It's pretty late again, so if you want to, it's easier to give me a text, 590-590. You are certainly welcome to. I see a number of texts about the bullpen, and I'm just going to read a couple of them for you guys. I see one here from Luke in New Hamburg. Jimmy is like a video game pitcher right now. He just painted whatever Jano put down for him tonight. I know it's early, but I feel we could have an epic pen this year. I see a text from, let's see, Peter in East Gwillimbury. Oh, and Peter from EG, who clarifies that it means East Gwillimbury. I actually appreciate that, Peter, because I kind of just assume. So thank you. Peter says, the main reason I tune into these days is to see Jimmy. It's a masterclass with every outing. I hope it's a true adjustment and not a vibe thing. Y-Rod was great as well. And I see here Tango in Ottawa. That's a great name. Great to see the bullpen have a good bounce back performance, albeit it's not the Yankees. But you know what? That is true. That is very true. But at the same time, the Padres are pretty good. Right? I mean, you got to acquit yourself pretty well against certainly Jake Cronenworth on one hand, but Fernando Tatis Jr. Xander Bogaerts had a tough start to the year. It's very true as well. But still, you can't be completely afraid of a guy who we in Toronto know very well after his many years as a Red Sox player. But Bogaerts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Ha-Seong Kim has been excellent this year. Manny Machado, can't forget about this guy. They have a lot of really dangerous batters. So I think the bullpen for them to be playing this well is very impressive. And I mean, you look at the guys who we saw today. So we got to see Bowden Francis, Tim Mesa, Jimmy Garcia, and Jordan Romano. And Francis being lined up with Rodriguez for now, I think is a good thing. His stuff just looks a little crisper as a reliever, which is good to see. And when I see Francis as a reliever achieve some success, it's hard not to think back to last year, if you guys remember, when he was very effective in that role, especially down the stretch of the 2023 season. I gotta say, I love watching, he's very tall, right? I love watching his lanky frame deliver the curveball. He's on most of his pitches, he has a kind of like the downward action in a lot of his pitches because he's so tall. But on the curveball, he just drops it in there, usually in the upper half of the strike zone. He got to see the Padres order just the one time, and maybe right before he got yanked, some luck in the last couple of outs he got as well, especially with some help from Dalton Varshow, to be sure. But I don't know, probably the best thing not to overexpose Francis to those guys we just mentioned. Again, they're a team that can really bat people around if they really want to. So a great move to go to the bullpen. And then, yeah, we got to see all the highest leverage relievers as well today. Tim Mesa, Jimmy Garcia, Jordan Romano. Mesa, I loved to see him continue to look like himself. Right, he had a really rough spring. He had a rough start to the regular season, and no one starts the regular season in mid-season form, obviously. But he looked like he had almost taken a step back after being a guy in, like you guys know, I like to use the term circle of trust. He's usually like right in the circle of trust, and he wasn't anywhere close to the circle of trust to start the year. This last time out, he looked pretty good. Tonight, again, looked very good. Made short work of the Padres batters. Loved seeing the pitch to Rosario. The 3-2 sinker he delivers, and he gets Rosario to just swing right through that thing. And I think it was like an 8 or 9 pitch AB, and he just threw sinker after sinker. It was like slider, sinker. It was great. So great to see Tim Mesa work his way back into the, or towards maybe, the inner circle of trust after that rough spring. But guys, as you correctly point out, how can we not talk about the bullpen and not get to Jimmy Garcia? He is just filthy. I'm happy because I think I've been a pretty big Jimmy Garcia booster in his time as a Blue Jay, but he has looked so dominant in 2024. He has got to be, if you're making a list of the most dominant relievers right now on the East Coast, April 20th, if you're making a list of the most dominant relievers, Jimmy Garcia has got to be at or near the top of the list. I would think, right? Like, you look at what he did tonight. Dots a strike with a sweeper to Bogaerts for the first out. Felt kind of bad for Bogaerts because he clearly had no idea what was going on tonight. He had a tough night, right? I mean, the out from Francis probably didn't help, but that was absolutely in the zone from Jimmy Garcia. The sweeper gets him. Garcia gets Tatis with a 97-mile-an-hour heater right at the top of corner of the zone, second out, and then he gets the curveball, his breaking ball, gets Cronenworth the swing, Jano tags the guy at the plate, and that's the inning. Jimmy Garcia, after that inning, okay, he has retired 19 batters in a row, and that has largely been, I think this is the most impressive thing, the opposing team's most feared batters. Like, we're talking about Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, when they're playing the Rockies, they're talking about like Ryan McMahon and Charlie Blackman, right? You're talking about tonight, Tatis and Bogarts and Cronenworth. He has been so dominant. I don't know if that stays this way. I don't know. I'll admit. But he is playing out of his mind right now, and I think everyone will take it. 11 Ks from Jimmy Garcia over those 19 batters. A win, two saves, two holds mixed in there as well. Just brilliant stuff. And it's funny because by contrast, for a lot of the time, Jordan Romano has kind of made us sweat a little bit, right? You know, it gets your blood pumping. And you know what? A pretty ho-hum appearance from Jordan Romano, which I think I'll take, and I think you guys will take that as well. I guess when it's not a save situation, he doesn't get quite as Markamaniac style with things, but hey, he filled the strike zone with sliders. He got things over with the fastball, as we know. Wasn't the highest velo on the fastball we've ever seen, but still not quite as stress-inducing as we've gotten from Romano in the last little while. And the fastball-slider mix worked today, and I'm not going to complain. I will take it. It was nice to see Romano largely make quick work of most of the batters he faced. Let's go back to the text line. 590-590, name and location. I see here Grant from Corktown. I think it's U-Rod. You know what? Actually, that might sound a little bit better, Grant. I kind of like it. You know what? Maybe we'll make U-Rod happen more than Y-Rod. You're probably right. I see here Andrew in Toronto. Andrew says, and I got to say, very appreciate all the texts from everyone on the East Coast. You guys are surprising me. I got to say, I'm very impressed. So well done, everyone. Andrew in Toronto, we are so spoiled by our outfield. Varsho always at full speed out there. What a performance today. It's very true. The catch from Dalton Varsho in left field on the Padres' first batter, so Bogarts, was awesome. So it was a home run, and I think 13 of 30 ballparks, according to Baseball Savant. Petco was not one of them, obviously. You heard Ben mention it on the radio broadcast, but 411 feet he hit that ball. So obviously some luck aiding U-Rod, according to Grant, in terms of the part of the ballpark Bogarts clubbed that to. But a great run for Varsho to get in range of that ball. I honestly don't think we talk enough about Varsho's defensive importance to this team. Like, he's basically at what? If you're looking across all of baseball, I know everyone, and I include myself in this, all of us listening, talking right now, it's not like we're watching every single outfielder on every single major league team in both the AL and the NL, but, I mean, if you're going to tell me that Varsho is any worse than, like, the third best defensive outfielder in all of baseball, I don't think I'd agree, right? He has to be third or better, I would think. Like, he made another great catch in the sixth to kind of did a little mini somersault when tumbling head over heels after sliding on his knees with the ball in his glove. And I don't get me wrong, I know the bat is something we still want to see more from, right? He just missed a mammoth home run today. He didn't straighten it out enough. It was foul. But still, we did get the two home runs from him in the final game against the Yankees a couple of days ago. But that glove of his is always going to keep him in the conversation when it comes to the most important players on this team. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not making excuses. Like, you need a lot more offense from him, and you can't overlook that. But as someone who's gotten a lot of Varsho shares on the mind this year, it's very encouraging to have gotten what we got over the last, what do you want to call it, the last week after a very slow start to the year. Chris Black, who's one of our producers extraordinaire at Sportsnet on the TV side, he tweeted this out during the game, which I thought was phenomenal. On a rate basis, Dalton Varsho is the best outfielder in the defensive run saved era. So if this is the outfield defensive run saved per 100 innings since 2003. Okay, since 2003, Dalton Varsho ranks at the top of the list with 2.112 outfield defensive runs saved. Kevin Kiermaier is actually number two with 1.99. I don't think that really shocks anyone. Brett Phillips, who I know has made a name for himself over the years, being a defensive outfielder, 1.77. And I actually think this is equally as impressive as Dalton Varsho. Number four on this list is Fernando Tatis Jr. at 1.75. And the reason I think that's impressive is because if you guys remember, Tatis basically came up as a shortstop, and then after the suspension, they basically plunked him in right field. He essentially learned how to play right field out there, and what, instantly became like the best right fielder in all of baseball? That's pretty incredible, but then again, he is, as they say, an elite player. You know what, let's take a very quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the offense. Go back to the text line. I see a whole ton of texts. And I actually see a text here from Curtis in Toronto. He wants to talk about Alek Manoah and Aurelvis Martinez. So we'll do that as well. So still some time to get your text in. 590-590, name and location. And we'll go back to the text line. If you want to give me a call, if it's not too late, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You're listening to Jays Talk After Dark. Show Ali with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, it'll be tempting for sure. You know, a lot of it depends on how he feels and how he's responding to. We don't want to get too carried away with it. I think 85 or so is probably, you know, where we'll land. But that, you know, that can change. You know, he's kind of in uncharted waters there, you know, for 83 pitches today, whatever it was. But if he's feeling good and throwing good, you know, we're going to continue to ride him.
That is John Schneider chatting about Yariel Rodriguez and his 83 pitches over four innings. Could the Blue Jays be tempted to push past that pitch count limit? And yeah, it doesn't sound like John Schneider is seriously considering it based on what the vibe I got from what he just said. But I mean, who knows? If Yariel Rodriguez does bounce back in the next couple of days and says he's feeling good and is feeling good, no inflammation, no soreness or anything like that, maybe we do get, you know, 90 pitches or 95 pitches the next time out. Maybe that does get you to 5 1/3 or 5 2/3. But great stuff from you, Rod, today in a 5-1 Blue Jays win. You're listening to Jays Talk. Show Ali with you here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Still some time to give me a text if you like. 590-590, name and location. See a text from our pal Ailish Forfar. Hey, show. Ailish in the long drive to Montreal. Been listening the whole way. Go Jays, go. Leafs do the same tomorrow. I'm very happy. You are very positive, Ailish, about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think life here in Toronto has led me to believe otherwise. But I, you know what? You're a very positive person, and I will be positive with you. I see a text here. Where was it? Oh, from Mike in Victoria. Mike wide awake in Victoria. So well done, Mike. He says, hey, show. MLB has been good in changing rules to adapt to the times. Maybe with pitchers not going as long, four innings should be an official game. A shame Rodriguez doesn't get the wing. You know, I don't think four innings will ever be like an official game, but I do think there can be some kind of change given that pitchers just will never go as long as they used to. Like we're so far removed from, even like 5 years ago, we're far removed from when pitchers used to go a little longer, but we are so far removed from the days of like Greg Maddux and like, I don't know, like Nolan Ryan throwing a million innings a year or whatever. So I kind of agree that MLB could change that, but you know, like probably feels like there are lesser things. Like it's a little further down the needs list right now. I see a text here from PJ in Brampton. I like this one. Thought it was interesting how in a league where there's so much emphasis on pitchers perfecting a repeatable delivery, Yariel has multiple arm slots, hitches in his delivery that he can deploy at any time to throw the hitter's timing off. Not Nestor Cortes type antics, and you guys should see the stuff he does, but thought the dichotomy in pitching philosophies was interesting to note. I agree. And it's funny because it's not something that all the Blue Jays pitchers have, right? It's like, if you look at all the starters, like Jose Barrios, a lot of really repeatable deliveries from him, and something you like. Kevin Gausman's very similar. Chris Bassett is very similar, even though he's throwing like 8 or 9 different pitches. So, and Kikuchi certainly as well. So it's great to see a little bit of a difference with Rodriguez. I love the hitch, kind of like when he raises a leg and then almost like he waits a beat too long, then he delivers. And he doesn't do it all the time in the sense of waiting and in terms of how long that leg's up there. So I'm sure that does not help in keeping your timing correct when you are at the plate. But I think it's a great thing to note from PJ. I see Josh from Kelowna, also out west. Josh says, do you think with our pitching, it is imperative the Jays trade or acquire a power bat during the year? And then Josh also says, I think if Romano sharpens up, Garcia continues like this, that could be the best closing team in baseball. What do you think? I mean, I've long said in that perspective, Josh, that one of the things I wanted from the bullpen is seeing someone who can take some of the stressful innings, you know, pitchers like to say that, stressful innings, off the plate of Jordan Romano. And if Jimmy Garcia is doing what he's doing, that is exactly going to be the case, which is nice because last year they had to go and get someone like Jordan Hicks to do that. And with Hicks off trying to be a starter, you know, you, and I wish the guy the best of luck, you needed someone internal or they needed to go and get someone else, and they didn't do that. So nice to see Jimmy Garcia fulfilling that role internally. And I do hope he keeps it up. It probably won't be like this good all season long, but gosh, if he has anything close to this, I got to say, I will be very impressed. I wanted to talk about the offense as well. A lot of text about the offense and five runs in the first two innings. And despite the results after the second inning, I still feel like we have not been able to say this all that often, but the Jays punished a starting pitcher early in a ballgame. They ambushed him in his own ballpark. And Matt Waldron, he throws a knuckleball, and he's able to get away with lesser pitches from the rest of his arsenal because a knuckleball is so hard to corral as a batter. And I love watching a good knuckleballer. We need more of them. But the Jays just slammed his non-knuckleball pitches in that second inning. A lot of Jays hits coming off of the four-seamer and the sinker. And that's the way it usually goes. But, I mean, I basically slandered Kevin Kiermaier on the pregame show. And after we maybe saw the team's worst AB of the season come from KK against Luis Gil a few days ago, he hits a Waldron sinker 103 miles an hour off the bat, slices into left center. Justin Turner shows himself to be the Jays' most important hitter again. He blasted that ball in the first inning that I honestly thought Merrill had a beat on, which in and of itself is impressive for such a young player. But Turner went on to also slap an RBI single again off the fastball. He's such a patient hitter, which I want to see more Jays kind of encompass, but he never takes massive hacks. He waits for his pitch. I got to say, I love watching him hit far more than I ever thought I would this season. Vladdy with a nice piece of hitting in that second inning as well. And then we saw a ball go right through his glove. I think it was Terry and Kitchener who had a text about this, Terry, but goes right through his glove in the second inning. And we saw this happen a few times over the last few years. That cannot be a good ad for whoever manufactures those, like Rawlings or whoever it is, whoever manufactures his glove. He's got to get a new glove, right? I mean, how does that happen to Vladdy more than to literally anyone else? Like we were saying earlier, I don't watch every other ball game out there, but it happening more than once already seems pretty unlikely. And we can point to like three different examples, including tonight, where it happened to Vladdy alone, which is truly bizarre. But Vladdy, I think, with some nice hitting tonight, you hope that continues certainly as well, especially with some tough pitches. He really muscled some balls into the outfield. So I hope we see more of that. And Jano with his first extra base hit of the season, which was actually a home run in 4 of 30 ballparks. It was hit to the part of the ballpark that we saw Jano hit so consistently to last year, almost identical to many of his extra base hits. That's the kind of power you want from him. And in the eighth inning, he goes up there and rips one into the corner. I can't wait to see more of those from Jano when runners are actually on base. And again, in that inning, Davis Schneider caught stealing after having gotten aboard with a single, so maybe, you know, maybe a little more of that ideally ahead of Jansen can only be a good thing for this offense. Before we go, I wanted to read this text from Curtis in Toronto, unrelated to the game. Great bounce back start from Manoah in Buffalo. Aurelius Martinez also looking great as well. It's very true. The guys look great. I mean, Pat Malachar, a voice of the Bisons, that said earlier, Manoah was looking at a pitch count of approximately 85 today. So 81 pitches took him through a full five. He came back out for the sixth. He got two outs, sandwiched on a double. So his final line after 92 pitches, 5 2/3, six hits, two runs, both of which were earned via two-run bomb, zero walks, five strikeouts. So his day actually started with a single and the two-run jack and a double. All those came in the bottom of the first inning. So really after the first, he only allowed three hits and no runs for the rest of the day. Not a bad outing. Like, he used the slider for a few of those punchies. Always encouraging, because we know the slider is his put-away pitch. You got a guy swinging on the back foot slider, too, which is just filthy. Just filthy to watch. So great to see that pitch in particular have some bite to it. And the command was there, right? Like, how many times have we discussed Manoah just spraying the ball all over the place, nowhere near the zone? So, like I said earlier, no walks and no hit batsmen. So extremely encouraging. And I got to say, I want to see him do it a couple more times. I don't think he needs to be like seven innings, one hit every time he's playing for the Bisons. But if he can continue to build on this, you know what? Maybe we do see him pitch for the Blue Jays again, maybe not in the next month, but maybe after this 30-day window has closed for the Blue Jays in terms of managing his injury and the rehab starts, maybe we are able to make a more concrete decision, what, mid-May? It's going to be a lot of fun. Aurelius Martinez, too. Five home runs in five games. He has been an absolute monster. A lot of fun to watch him. Maybe we see him make the decision in the infield a little tougher in the not-too-distant future. Hey, guys, appreciate you staying with me here on Blue Jays Baseball late tonight, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Saskatoon and Swift Current, Saskatchewan. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crayon at Crayon.com. Canada's number one rust protection. Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore. I'm Sho. I'm back tomorrow for more Jays Talk. Julia Kreutz will be alongside for the weekend series. Sleep fast, everyone. We'll talk to you later.